Thank you for tuning in to the FactCheckVaccine.com audio stream podcast. If you find the following information helpful, please share it with others. And now, we begin the audio stream.
Welcome to the Second Society podcast. This is a production dedicated to the energetic, creative, and peaceful maintenance of the faith, morals, wisdom, knowledge, and information necessary to preserve the people's capacity to restore, build, and protect just and flourishing institutions, societies, nations, and civilizations. It is July the 3rd, 2021. This episode is entitled, How to Listen to a Podcast. I am your host, David Schmidt. Podcasts really have taken over where talk radio once existed. Really, there was a transformation in the last 5 years that made effective use of the podcast format. It's really a wonderful tool. So I saw the development of the talk radio format that quickly took on a characteristic of call-in shows. Soon the public learned that it enjoyed being able to give its own feedback, to see its ideas expressed in a broadcast fashion where other people could respond to them. And so we proceeded through a mode of your monologue to my monologue, and now what I'm delighted to see is movement towards a conversational mode. Human beings really need freedom of thought. This is essential to rationality, to the Socratic method, to scientific reasoning, and to the advancement of the human person. Many things in the past year revealed to many of us, particularly attuned to the patterns that are forming, that it's really a time now to take to another level the capacity of human beings, both through technology and through the human virtues, to communicate, to develop ideas, to critique our own ideas, to have our ideas critiqued, and to test these ideas out in actual practice. So, again, the podcast is a delightful tool towards this end, as are the opportunities to have discussions through live streaming. So tonight I want to examine a little bit how we could get better use out of podcasts. And it's particularly helpful that this is the eve of Independence Day 2021 in the United States. Because independence is only possible where there is the opportunity to be free, to think freely, to speak freely, and to be free to hear things that you do not necessarily like, to hear things that maybe you've not heard before, and to hear things that challenge you to think differently. Doesn't mean that you have to think differently. Of course, you are a free human being. But to be a free human being, you need to exercise certain virtues. And none of that comes easily for any of us. And it's always something that can fall into habitual disrepair. So what we want to do then as we think about how to get the most out of a podcast is to build the foundation of principles that will enable us to be much more rewarded from our efforts of podcasting and listening to podcasts. And so it's not just a matter of turning something on like the television and listening to whatever is blasted at us or pumped into our nervous systems. Television really did do a lot of damage. It's something that had great potential. There were many benefits that were derived from it, but it was really a tool of mind control as it came to fall into the hands of people who really didn't deserve to be broadcasting at us. So we have a chance to counter this, and the podcast the podcast and the internet are great ways to counter some of the ill effects that were acquired by decades of television broadcasting. Now, in order to do this, in order to get the best out of the podcast, because it is a tool that will challenge you in many ways, it'll challenge you to deepen your habits and capacities as a human being, as a human thinker. And the first thing that is really critical is to approach it as a learner. A learner is not somebody who should be thought of as in any way defective. In fact, the learner is the sort of the highest expression of a mind that is developing. So maybe the first thing is to realize that our minds are supposed to develop throughout our lifetime. And indeed, whatever end we come to in that development, and certainly it will be far short of the mind of God, whatever end we come to, we can pass on to another generation the fruits of our intellectual labors. So, one shouldn't have an attitude of sort of stubborn resistance to listening to podcasts. As we develop an openness to learning, and that's what listening to podcasts hopefully achieves. It's not entertainment, but rather it's intellectual development. I think of how delightful the times were when I was at a university and had the opportunity at dinner times to sit and enjoy a meal and engage in conversation, perhaps with a visiting professor on a sabbatical, for instance, or other graduate students or other faculty members who were permanently at the university. And the easiest thing to do is to open the conversation by saying, "Well, Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so, I understand that you study such and such. What can you tell me about that? What classes are you teaching this semester? And what is that about?" I'll tell you, those simple questions are like winding up an energetic lecturer and then giving him free rein to share with you what's most interesting to him or her. And you get in a three hours time or 400 time over a meal and dessert, you get a full semester's worth of knowledge for free, essentially. So, one of the things I see in society among family or friends or neighbors sometimes is a kind of an anger or a reluctance to listen to somebody else. There's a little bit of this "I hate teachers and school" thing. So the sooner that we can get away from thinking of podcasts as just being another type of torture, I think the better off would be. So One of the things that is maybe admirable about this resistance, one of the things that has some benefits to it, is the protection of the person against, the protection of the listener against potentially problematic ideas. But what we want to do is we want to learn how to countenance, how to face, how to manage, how to deal with problematic ideas. And we want to learn to be able how to do that. We want to learn how to be able to do that even on our own. Of course, we will always avail ourselves to writers, thinkers, speakers from our traditions that can give us the wisdom to recognize problematic ideas. But we also want to be able to develop the confidence and the skills to be able to handle them on our own. I'm going to butcher this. It's an idea that goes back to Aristotle, but I'll put it into contemporary terms. And that is that it's a mark of an educated and intelligent mind that it can entertain ideas without believing in them necessarily, or succumbing to them, or being reactively programmed by them. But rather, we engage those ideas and we can analyze them for their own merits. So think of it, perhaps this analogy, it's like bringing home a package of meat from the butcher's shop and we put it on a kitchen counter, or maybe you're fortunate enough to have one of those beautiful central blocks in your kitchen. So you put this package of meat down, you unwrap it, you examine it, and then you perhaps cut it up into pieces that suit your needs. Maybe you trim off fat or bone or other parts of it that are unwanted. And the choicest pieces you wrap and save in your freezer, most likely. And maybe the less choice pieces you grind up and mix with spices and save them in that way. But in other words, you're in control. Simply having that piece of meat in your house doesn't give that piece of meat the power to rule over you. No, you control it. You manage it. You treat it in a manner that suits your needs. And you should think of ideas like that. You bring them in, you put them on a countertop, a butcher's block, and you take control of it. You cut them up. Literally, that's what analyze means. It means to cut apart. You analyze it. You cut up those ideas. You throw away what is useless or unappealing or harmful, and you save the rest if there's anything to be saved. The point is that you are in control. You don't need to be protected from quote-unquote harmful ideas, an expression that we see being used by rather nefarious and malicious platforms on the internet in our contemporary time. There are some other things that we can do that are helpful. In addition to taking in these ideas, taking control of them and analyze them, we should really try not to get angry as we engage with these thoughts and concepts, these narratives, these ideas. We should, anger will oftentimes come. It's natural, it's necessary, and it's even helpful. It alerts us to potential problems, to dissonance between ideas or offenses against virtues and values. And so but we should treat the angry experiences as warning lights in our cockpit. We don't want that warning light to continue on after we've already been alerted to the problem. So we get angry, we see the light flashing, we turn off the warning light, and we begin to deal with the problem. That is, we apply our rational, intellective will and faculties of judgment, and we begin to formulate a counter response, our own narrative, our own explication of what the thought, what the idea that we brought in, what it intended to address. And again, we don't have to accept it on its own terms. We can accept it on our terms. Podcasts make great listening. They're great when we're traveling. They are wonderful while we're working in our shop or puttering around with the car in our garages or cooking in the kitchen or while relaxing in our recliners. So let's begin to think of them as maybe more and more a natural part of our day and our existence. And they do, in fact, become quite intended. Well, it's not that the podcasts become intended. That's not the point. The point is that we begin to entertain ourselves by the workings of our own minds. And so how is it that we can exercise some of these mind gifts that we have, these intellectual gifts? How should we examine ideas? One thing that I find very helpful right away is to think of things in terms of objects and events, and also the contexts which surround them, and the context which gives any given object or event some meaning. So you always need to find the greater context that informs us as to what a particular object or event is. Think of it this way. Imagine for your mind, for a moment in your mind, the appearance of a large grizzly bear in front of you with its front limbs extended high above it, with its claws bared, poised to swipe at you with a powerful slash and capable of killing you in an instant. Then ask yourself, what is the meaning of this image? What is the inherent danger? What does it mean that I'm here facing this image in front of me? Because there are really two situations you can imagine. One situation, and even more, but the one situation you can imagine is that you've stumbled across this bear in the woods, it's popped up out of the bushes right in front of you, and that your life is now in immediate peril. But in another situation, you could be looking at this image, and that image could represent a stuffed bear in a museum. And that stuffed bear's behind a pane of glass in a artfully crafted scenario surrounding it with a nameplate and a description of its habits and its biology and the natural history of the animal. In one case, you're in peril. In another case, you're safely standing in a museum and taking in quite comfortably a completely inert object. So you see, the context surrounding any given object or event, in this case a bear, the context provides so much critical information that really defines the object or event. Now, reality, which is something that we want to get at, It will be a constant feature of the Second Society Project that I will denounce the idea of perception as being reality. This has been a grotesque, corrupting, and even we could say evil influence that has brought us to this woeful condition in which we're presently now struggling. I'm going to, in these podcasts, insist that we demand greater access to reality. And we have to be able to put in the labors of finding reality. And reality is really a flow of interconnected events that can't be separated. They're all connected throughout space and time. A lie or propaganda, deceptions, frauds, these are all attempts to distort this flow of reality. And the attempt to distort it creates a real event, to be sure, but a real event that is incoherent with the other events that surround it. It creates a type of a warp in meaning. And so that warp itself can be detected with enough effort. And we know that there are police detectives, lawyers, investigators, historians, scientists, social critics, people in the psychological sciences who have skills and responsibilities for detecting these warps in reality and these warps being presented to us as reality when in fact they are not. And so these are important jobs. These are jobs of vigilance. And vigilance is a foundationally important task within human societies. And some people are charged with the responsibility of acting as vigilant observers and detectives, historians, scientists, what have you, that can alert their fellows regarding the dangers of predators that are seeking to subdue and make prey of themselves and their fellow mates. So, for us to have this high regard for reality, we have to have a deep and an abiding respect, this fundamental belief in truth. And so we have to jettison the idea of randomness and accidental occurrences. Now, in fact, there is a utility to discussing things as appearing as random and as appearing by chance. It's a helpful tool, certainly helpful if you're playing a game of cards. It's helpful if you are a statistician or a scientist, an engineer concerned with quality control. There are ways of using the notion of randomness. And I hopefully will develop for you in a separate podcast a complete discussion on how to more properly think of randomness. And we'll take a deep look at that. There are some mathematical principles that we need to employ, and we can do that in a podcast. Mathematical, logical, and statistical principles for thinking about how chance occurs. And really, many scientists would do well to pay attention to this a little more closely. So this is not just trivial stuff, and it's there's nothing rubbish or sort of lowbrow about this. It's not a condescending lecture. It's something of the highest importance, and for even some of the most sophisticated practitioners and theorists in our human societies. I began to acquire an interest in this when I was in graduate school, and I began to think deeply about this ancient Greek principle that they called the logos, the deep meaning and order of the universe. And it also later, in later centuries, in the time of Christ, we have the Gospel of St. John, which opens with a devout praise to the Logos, the Word, and the Word who was, in fact, God. And, this interest that I had in the Logos continues through many of my other explorations. I'm fascinated by the philosophical and neurophysical topic of the mind-brain problem, and it is, I think, quite the point of just delightful departure for those topics. So now let's talk about some practical things, having established some of the deeply theoretical, metaphysical, and philosophical principles about learning and learning through this medium of the podcast. So in order to get more out of the podcast, let's look at some of the difficulties that people have. And I'm familiar with these from talking to people who have listened to podcasts. In some cases, they've listened to my podcast. In some cases, they've objected to listening to any of my podcasts again. You always have to try and be humble and humorous about these things, you know. And it dovetails perfectly with the experience I had as a teacher and then a professor. And so I've learned some things. I've learned some things that make it easier for both students and listeners, audiences, and fellow conversants. It makes it easier for them all to engage in this process of conversation. Because remember, that's what I want to get to. I want to get to a conversation, one-on-one, equal to equal. And in order to do that, we have to work together. We have to work together to establish our framework for discussion. We have to understand the terms. And these are some of the reasons why people have trouble listening to something like a podcast, is sometimes they're unfamiliar with the terms. Why is this important? Well, let's take, for example, our current crisis with the vaccines, whether we should be taking vaccines. What's the meaning of COVID? Is COVID real? How real is it? How serious is it? These are all things that demand fairly sophisticated skills for analyzing. But I want you to have those skills. I want you to be able to protect yourself. I want you to be able to make right judgments about how you and the society that you influence, the family that you try to protect, how you can make better decisions about those things. So, some handy items to have around when you're listening to a podcast is a dictionary. I am always trying to sell people on the American Heritage Dictionary, not because I get any kind of reward from them whatsoever. It's just that I have found it to be an excellent one. It has great references to the origins of words, something we called etymology. Again, I promised you in another podcast that I would develop a discussion about dictionaries, about using them. I love them. I have one in every room in my house. When I worked outside of the home, I had one in my office. I have one in the back seat of my vehicles. You never know when you need a dictionary, and I could be out at a restaurant or in a park, and I need to look up a word. So that's how much I love dictionaries, and I don't necessarily expect everybody to go out and buy 10 dictionaries, but even if you make sure you have one, you are tremendously ahead. Let it be your friend, you know. Words are power, and I want you to be empowered. I want you to have the capacity to understand and think in new ways, and that's what mastering words allows you to do. Some other helpful things would be an Encyclopedia Britannica or whatever you listen to in terms of podcasts. If you listen to podcasts about the weather or about agriculture or about mechanics, well, maybe it'd be helpful to have some useful paper textbooks around that you can look things up with as you're listening to the podcast or afterwards. These are all tools. And, you know, the something I get a tremendous amount of benefit from is Wikipedia. Now, a lot of people say you got to be careful of Wikipedia. And I would say I would be in complete agreement, especially when Wikipedia deals with controversial topics, history, politics, biographies of people's lives. You can expect distortion there. But as you get better at lifelong learning, you will also not be, you'll not be oppressed and you'll not be harmed, and you'll be better able to recognize the clunkers of ideas that come through a device like Wikipedia. Did I mention the Encyclopedia Britannica? I hope I did. They're easily gotten for 10, 20 bucks, you can get a whole set of Britannicas from yesteryear at some used bookstore, so, or online. Really try it. So it'll be very useful to you. The other thing you can do while you're listening to podcasts is take notes. Jot down ideas that you don't understand. So as I said before, we're faced with some very complicated topics involving the SARS-CoV-2, SARS-CoV-2 virus. What is a virus? What is messenger RNA? What's a vaccine? What are spike proteins? What are they talking about when they're talking about endothelial cells in the blood vessels? What are they talking about when they're talking about ACE2 receptors? So these are all things you want to have a notepad around. Just jot things around. Maybe you can make little diagrams, what have you. Outlines, whatever you find helpful to understanding something. I find that having that paper in front of me allows me to create a framework in my mind. I don't have the best memory, and so I find having a pictorial representation of what I'm listening to be very, very helpful. Try to, the other nice thing about, by the way, a podcast is you can always, and videos, you can always replay what you've missed. I mean, gosh, you could never do that with television. And so this is what we have now. It's a tremendous, tremendous capability. You can put it on one-time speed. If it's something you want to get through faster, you can skip through it. You can put it on two-time speed. If it's a complicated subject, like sometimes I listen to things in physics or math, especially math, that's not my greatest gift. I've had to work with math a lot, but I'm no mathematician. So I need to put those things on even one half speed, and then I can listen to it again and as I say, skip through it if I need to. Discuss things with your friends as you listen to these things. These ideas should be topics of conversation. One of the things I like about the COVID shutdown was it shut down a lot of that trivia about sports. Now, I love sports. I was a good baseball player. I played on every team I played on was a championship team. I was happy to contribute to that. Like my father, I'm pretty good at baseball and softball. But I think I have a right perspective about sports and how it fits in. And unfortunately, it was misused by the mind controllers of our age to simply degrade humans, especially human males, and put them in a weak and supine position. So fill your time with really the exciting work of being a citizen, and practice writing a little. You have the possibility, almost all videos and podcasts and blogs, you have the chance of writing your own ideas. Writing is so critical for everybody. Everybody has an intellectual life, and you might not be writing giant tomes. I certainly don't. But, comments online are a great way to practice your writing. And also, if you think a podcast or video has a good message, circulate it, for goodness sakes. That's the power of this medium, is you get to send it to your friends. You get to send it in your coworkers, your neighbors, your enemies, if you want. You be judicious about whether your position in life allows you to do that with your own name. Young people who need to retain work in these very troubling and evil times, I certainly encourage them to think about interacting anonymously if possible. Ultimately, of course, if you're online, you're not totally anonymous. Somebody could find you out. So be smart about what you say. Don't say things that are illegal or promote immoral and illegal actions. What's this all about? It's about becoming a citizen. The ancient Greeks had this as a very high goal. They gave that to us as a gift, and it's time that we really take it seriously. And to be a citizen means to be engaged with your local world around you, as well as the larger world. We want to become a citizen. We want to become noble men and women. We want to become heroes, and ultimately, we want to become saints. And there are many wonderful tools for doing that, and I hope that you'll consider the comments above as imperfectly as I presented them. And I hope that you can derive some benefit from them. And if you can, share this, add your comments to this podcast, and I appreciate your attention.